Chili Effect is sponsored by WallStreetWindow.com and listeners like you.
And now the most underrated voice in all media, Chuck O'Shelly.
April 15, 2022, allegedly, according to that thing we call a calendar. And this indeed is the show you were looking for. How do I know that? Because you're hearing me say this. Anyway, I am going to air live 1 hour early today on a Friday, on Friars Day. And the reason is because yesterday, while producing Jack Blood's show, I listened very carefully to about a half hour from a young man who is in the Ukraine. Or wait, let me stop myself again, because we keep saying the Ukraine, or at least we used to. Now we say Ukraine, and we're being treated to a whole bunch of Americans trying to say Ukrainian words and cities, mostly improperly. And I'm aware that I can't do it either. But these people have told us, you know, it's no longer. It's no longer Kiev, it's Kyiv, you know, and things like this. They're trying, I guess, with the virtue signaling they're doing. I don't really care about that, nor do I care about the independent media that pretty much says that, you know, Vladimir Putin is a fighter of the New World Order, and he's there to denazify Ukraine, right? And he's there to stop all these other things that Ukraine was doing, because Ukraine is such a criminal organization. And oh, look at the bio labs, and oh, look at the Nazi brigade, and oh, look at the Vladimir Putin's a good guy. Yeah, well, you've been listening to my show, then you know I'm not buying it. But you know what? It doesn't matter what I buy. It doesn't matter what I think, because I'm not the one sitting in Ukraine. I'm not the one who is getting targeted. I'm not the one who's wondering if my relatives, my friends, my distant acquaintances are going to get killed, or have their city destroyed, or have their village burned down, or have their infrastructure destroyed. No, I'm not doing that right now. So for me to judge people that are caught in the crossfire of this situation, yeah, no, here's how I judge. None of this should be happening. It's just that simple. So I invited, here we go. I'm going to try the name. Ruslan Haduk. Okay, on to my show to, well, speak again. And maybe tell you a little more about what he was telling you on Jack Blood's show yesterday, which is released. It is up at theocelli.com archives under the Jack Blood link. It is there. I want you to hear him there, but I also want you to hear him here. Because I may ask a few questions. I'm going to give them the full hour here to discuss. And in the second and third hour, I'll be talking to an author about a book. But I'm not going to even get into that right now, because this is a special show. And I may actually separate it anyway into its own entity and put it out there, because I want people to hear and understand what this young man says and what it is he's going through and what it is his culture, his country, what it is happening there. Not the TV images, not the impressions, not the reports, not the talking head guy from the hotel room, but a young man who's actually there. How you doing tonight, my friend?
Hi, Chuck. I'm doing well. Thank you. Thank you for having me.
I'm extremely grateful. And where should we begin to tell your story? I would like to ask you to start here. The day before this part of the invasion, because to me, it seems like the invasion started in 2014, but kind of paused for a while. And there were reports anyway of shells being fired back and forth and things going on since then, off and on. But the last 50 days, 51 days now, I think, a little different. So could you tell me about, you know, 52 days ago? And tell me about what was going on for you right before things started.
Yes. Well, the day before this whole invasion of Russia in Ukraine, that day was just a good day when I knew that I had a safe sky. I knew that my relatives, my friends, all of them were safe. It was 23rd of February. We were happy. I worked. I knew that I would achieve some of my goals. I was happy. I planned some trips abroad. I planned some things on my work. But later, 24th of February came, and my morning started with the words, "Wake up, the war has started." It was awful to hear that. That time I heard planes flying in the sky. I didn't know what to expect. I didn't know whether they were Ukrainian planes or they were Russian planes who will throw a bomb on my house, on my city, and kill people who I love. I also heard that morning a weird sound. It was an explosion. It was the airport in my city was bombed by Russians. It was 5 a.m., I guess, if I'm not mistaken. I heard that sound, but I didn't know that it was a bomb. I thought that maybe that was a car accident. I didn't think about it. So I just continued sleeping. But later when I took my phone, read news, I was totally shocked.
Let me interrupt to ask you one question here, because before that day, I saw in the media here and I saw in media in other countries that they were discussing the possibility of the invasion. It sounds to me like you weren't thinking that it was coming very, very soon, or maybe it wouldn't have happened because you were making plans. And, you know, it's not like you were preparing for this to start happening, right? According to what you're saying. But the rest of the world was talking about this. Will he do it? Will he not do it? Is there an exercise in Belarus? Is there an exercise over here? So on and so forth. Is this a military invasion being planned? People were speculating about this. So, but this wasn't really on your mind if you were making plans and thinking, look, things are going along kind of as normal. I mean, did you yourself not think that it was a serious threat that, well, Russia might invade your country?
Yes, Chuck, you're absolutely right. The world spoke about the invasion, but yes, I didn't believe it. Most of Ukrainians didn't believe that it would happen, and it would happen so soon. And also Ukrainian government, it didn't tell us that it would happen, because people would start to panic, and men like me, like my father, who can go and join the Ukrainian army, they would just try to escape the war, because we didn't know what it was. Now we know that we can fight, that we can win, but at that time everyone was speaking about Russia as one of the most powerful armies in the world, and to be honest, we were afraid. We didn't know what to expect, so we didn't believe it, and also our government didn't let us panic, and it didn't let us know that the war will come so soon.
Right. Well, in general, I got the sense that your president especially was going on television and pretty much trying to tell people, don't worry, this is not going to happen very soon. I think he was one of the main people telling the public in general to not panic, basically. I mean, again, maybe so that guys like you wouldn't flee, or people wouldn't get worked up. I mean, maybe they realistically thought that they could negotiate something. I don't know, per se, but I do know that that seemed to be the sense I was getting. Now, I wasn't able to watch media in your country, but is that right for the media that was going around in Ukraine?
Yes, that's right. And our president, actually, he confessed after the war started. He confessed that he didn't tell us the truth, and he confessed that he had known that the war would have started in 24th of February, and we are not angry with him. We know that he did it because he had to.
Okay, well, that's fair enough. So this begins for you, and now you're in this situation. Now, did you have planes overhead before that at all, or were planes a totally new thing where you were located?
Uh, You mean planes?
Well, like on a regular basis, did you have planes going over your head normally? Because you said there was an airport there. So, I mean, you might have had some planes now and then maybe fly over your area, your house even. But this definitely changed on that day, the way they were flying and what was going on, I suppose. But, I mean, were you used to the sounds of planes and things like this previous or no?
No, of course. These were planes flying very low, like a few feet above the trees, and they were making a very loud noise, and it was very scary. It was unusual for me.
Right. Okay. So you talked about the explosion at the airport, and you had heard the noise, but didn't think that that was a bomb. Could have been, you know, many things. Like you said, a large car accident, a truck, say, hitting something could cause a loud noise like that, maybe even shake a house if it's close by. This kind of thing happens anyway, and you didn't necessarily say in your own mind, well, that's a bomb. But now you've had to get used to more and more of those sounds as time has gone on. So take us further through that day, that first day, if you will, when you were waking up to this and what was going on.
Well, it's really hard to remember how it was going on, because now it's been 51 days, and how I felt that first day and how I'm feeling right now, it's a very big difference. But at the first day of the war, it was very, very, very unusual for me. I didn't know what to feel. I felt fear. I was scared. I felt anxiety, and also I felt anger. I knew deeply in my soul that a lot of people would die. I knew that my family would be also affected. I knew that my father would go there he would join the Ukrainian army, because my father was always speaking about that. And I was scared. And many other Ukrainian people, they felt totally the same. I asked my friends, I asked my relatives about their feelings, and they couldn't say, I feel fear. I feel only fear or something like that. They couldn't describe their emotions. And also the war affected everyone differently. For example, someone started smoking, someone quit smoking, someone started drinking, someone couldn't sleep at night, but someone slept like a baby at night. Someone started eating too much, someone stopped eating. And it's very unique for everyone of us, but all of us felt the same, what I can truly say.
Okay, I understand. So let's move forward by asking this question, because there has been some dispute here regarding the language that is spoken throughout Ukraine. Now, what I understand from my other friends is that, quite frankly, Russian is spoken throughout Ukraine anyway, and the Ukrainian language is different. But quite frankly, it's not uncommon for people to speak Russian in public, at restaurants, at stores, things like this. And yet there are people that support the Kremlin line who have said that, you know, there was no way that anybody could speak Russian, and that people that spoke Russian were being oppressed. Could you tell me a little bit about that?
Yes, of course. Well, what I can say surely that in western part of Ukraine, 99% of people speak only Ukrainian. In eastern part of Ukraine, the majority speaks Russian, because they are closer to Russia. And also, let's consider the history. Let's remember the history, because Russia tried to destroy Ukrainian language. There were some, I don't know how to say it, the laws which Russia created a couple hundred years ago, that they wanted to cancel Ukrainian language. And because Russia tried to destroy Ukrainian language, Ukrainian nation so many times, in Ukraine, many people still speak Russian. And it is totally normal, because in Ukraine, we all can speak Russian. We all can understand Russian. But it's a choice of us whether to speak Russian in our families or speak Ukrainian in our environments.
Right. And I believe on Jack's show, you said you were 22 years old. Is that right?
Yes.
Okay. So 8 or 10 years before you were born, Ukraine was effectively part of the Soviet Union. And therefore, the Soviet Union seemed like they were exerting influence to have people speak Russian anyway, in any territory they controlled. So you might not have had that experience under the Soviet Union because it was gone by the time you were born, right?
Fortunately.
Right. But this still is an influence on your parents. This is still an influence on older, anybody who's a little older than you, maybe somebody who's 30 years old. They may have come into the world where speaking Russian was extremely common anyway. So this brings me to the next piece about this. And then I want to just let you go and talk about how it is you feel now, since we've got a sense of your history a little bit and how you experienced the beginning of the war and what you thought about it before. I want to get more into where it is you're at now. But before we get there, just a quick question again. The idea that Russian speakers and people that were loyal to Russia, who were mostly in Western Ukraine, were being oppressed by the rest of Ukraine, effectively, that they were being killed, and this kind of thing. This is part of the justification that Putin has certainly released out there, but also many people are repeating, you know, through lots of different media outlets, even though they banned RT over here effectively. And things like this, but there are plenty of these allegedly independent media people who are saying this, that, you know, the Ukrainians, they were killing Russians and Russian sympathizers. They were oppressing them in that section there. The part of the country that Vladimir Putin declared was now independent very recently, and that he was going in to defend. Now, I'm not saying that I believe this, Ruslan, okay? No, not my belief. I am just telling you what it is has been said, and maybe you can tell me that's right or wrong.
Yes, I understand you, Chuck, and just to add, I every day I read Russian news too, and I know what they say, and they say exactly the same as you said. And I can say, I'm sure it is all false information, because my work is connected to traveling around Ukraine. I visited many cities in Ukraine, and in many cities, Ukrainian people speak Russian. Even in my city, people speak Russian. They go to restaurants, they speak Russian, waiters can answer them Ukrainian, and everyone understands each other. And the thing you said, that Ukrainians kill Russian people, is a lie. We never, literally never killed people because of Russian language, because they are Russians, and there are a lot of Russians in Ukraine who can prove it, who are right now in Ukraine, who see the war, and they record many videos asking their Russian friends who are in Russia to believe them that Russian government lies, that in Ukraine there aren't any Nazi, and Russian people are treated and respected there the same way as other people.
Right, and that brings me to the last piece of ugliness before I really want you to discuss how you feel about this. And you did discuss it on Jack's show, and you talked about the letter that you wrote, which I also republished on my website along with Jack's show to let people know what it is that was on your mind and in your heart. I want to thank you for that, because it is necessary. It needs to be heard. That there is not just one point of propaganda or another to be heard. The people themselves must be heard who are affected. I know that you know this, young man. I'm 50 years old, so I apologize. I have children your age, you know, and so I apologize for speaking to you that way, but I really appreciate what you've said and how you've laid it out there. But now we're going to have to go to the Nazi topic. And here's the thing about it. I will first start with what I know to be true in my country, okay? And what I know to be true is that anytime I have encountered these neo-Nazi people, many of them, a huge percentage of them, are former military here in this country. They do exist. People don't like it when I say it, but it's the truth. And there are people who do sympathize with, think that it would have been a better thing if Hitler had won the war. You understand? There are people that think this way. I don't know why, but they do. And some of them have a great deal of hate for others, anything other than themselves. Now, it has been said, and I think that there may indeed be, because Ukrainians are people. There may indeed be ignorant and hateful people within your military who could be like this, just like there are people in my own country that are like this. Doesn't mean it's all of us. It doesn't mean it's the majority of us. It doesn't even mean it's a lot of us. It just means that there's some. I'm curious, you know, about that, because I do think that there may indeed be some of those people in Ukraine. Because again, people are people. You're going to have good and bad among them, okay? And I think that Ukrainians are just as capable of being bad as Americans or anybody else. See what I mean? Equal. yeah. So I think to myself, well, it's very possible that this is part of the equation. But people say that, oh no, the whole government is filled with these people, which I find strange, considering that your current president is Jewish, if I understand correctly.
True.
Kind of strange for a Nazi to be Jewish, but okay. You know, they accuse him of being a Nazi. They accuse him of being a sympathizer or someone who is taking direction from Nazi-like people. And again, this is not my idea, okay? I just want you to know. I do think that it's possible that there are guys like this there, but I don't think it's the majority. I don't think they're running the show, and I don't think that they would justify any such action like what we're seeing now. So go ahead and correct me or tell me what you know of this truth or falsehood, please.
Of course. So before 2014, before Russia tried to invade Ukraine for the first time, before Russia took Crimea, there weren't any people who would say that Russians are bad, any people who didn't like Russia and so on. We even used to say that Russians are like our brothers. But 2014, Russia comes in Ukraine and starts shooting cities in Donbas. Probably you heard about it. In Donetsk and Lugansk regions, they kill people, and we text Russian people. We say that you kill us, you do that, and Russian people don't believe us. They say, no, it's you. You kill your people. You are Nazi. Then we find some satellites, pictures, and we send it to Russia and show, look, you're military forces are here, they shoot the cities. Then people in Donbas, they say, Russians are shooting us, trust us. Mm-hmm. And Russian people don't believe us. And because of that, because they don't believe us and they don't trust us, we start hating them. We don't become Nazi. We don't kill Russians. We don't treat them badly. But we just don't like them anymore. We don't respect them because they prefer believing their TV instead of people who see everything, who experience everything.
Right.
And
well, I want to ask you another. Yes. I'm sorry. I want to ask you another question right here for a good reason, because I have a friend who is there in Ukraine still. You know, and in 2014, they didn't kill him, but I believe it was the Donetsk region there, where they just basically threw people out of their homes too, not just killing and shooting up buildings, but in some cases they just leave your home, and they took his home from him. And I know that is, he's not the only one. So people were displaced too, sent out of where they were living at this time. Now, I don't know if you're aware of that, or if you know anybody like that lost their home and just had to move also. You know, they didn't buy their homes from them. They just took them. This is what was going on in 2014. And again, I don't know all of what to make of the information I've gotten, but have you heard anything like that yourself from others?
Are you speaking about Russians who took houses?
Yeah, basically, the guy... Okay, so I'll tell you this. The guy actually started out life in Yugoslavia and then grew up partially in Australia and then moved, believe it or not, to Ukraine in around 2014. Got married, right? Had a home there with a Ukrainian woman. And her, you know, and they were forced to give up their home by Russians. Yes, have you heard of something like this before?
Okay. Yes, I heard about it too. I don't know people in person who experienced that, but I heard it from news that Russians. Make people leave their houses, but also I heard that Russians made people leave their houses and go to Russia. They were some kind of evacuating them. They took people in Ukraine and brought them to Russia. And then in Russia, they said that we saved you because Ukrainians were going to kill you. And those people believe they don't have another choice, so it's totally possible what you say.
Well, yeah, and in this case, the guy was not Russian, so they probably weren't going to send him to Russia. But also, I have heard stories, and again, this is partially through a friend of mine that I can't talk to anymore. He told me stories about, well, you know, just before this current phase of the invasion, that some men were taken that were good Russian speakers and included in with the Russian army, which was there on the border. They were just taken off the street. How about that? Have you heard anything about that?
Yes, I heard a lot about that, and it's a sad truth. It really happens.
Okay. Listen, I'm asking you. I'm not, you know, telling you, obviously, anything. Yeah, you're telling me because you're there. So this is why I'm asking. So my apologies for asking so many questions. And at this point, I'd like to just let you go ahead and tell it in your own words. And obviously, look, English may not be your first language, but you're doing extremely well. And I'm really pleased to let you just tell the rest of the story, how it is you feel, what it is you think of the situation as it is. And like you said, it was hard even because 51 days ago, in your mind, or 52 days ago, I should say, there probably wasn't going to be a war. Now there is, and now you're experiencing things differently. So in your own words, you know, tell us how you feel, what you think, what you want, and just speak as freely as you like, sir. It's the time is yours.
Thank you, Chuck. Well, I just remember that yesterday when I was giving an interview too, I was a bit stressed because at that time Russians actually bombed my city. And I remember when I was giving an interview, I read on news that a few bombs attacked my city. And today I feel much better. I feel more relaxed and ready to tell my story and share my experience with you guys.
Well, again, I'm really grateful that you're doing this, and I'm, you know, sorry about yesterday. You still did really well, by the way, on Jack's show, but I really appreciate you taking the time to do this with me today. So, like I say, please go ahead and tell us about how it is you feel at this point about what's being done. How it is you feel about Russia. I mean, you can tell me about how you feel about the West. I won't take offense. You know, do you feel as though the American government or NATO is letting you down? Any of that stuff. Anything you want to say, go ahead.
Okay, thank you. So, the first weeks of the war were very hard for me and all Ukrainian people, because every time we read news, we heard about death of people. We heard that a woman, a man, a child were murdered. And to be honest, I felt an enormous pain. It wasn't a physical pain. I couldn't see it. I couldn't feel it. But I knew it was somewhere in my soul. I felt so pressed, so... I'm not sure if there is a word in any language to describe that feeling. And it was awful. But then there was 1 week of the war. There was another week and another. And we got used to that. We accepted the fact that there is a war in Ukraine, in our country, and we can't change it. We have to live like that. And you know, it's been already 50 days, and I still keep hearing about death of many people. I keep hearing about even worse things now, which happened to Ukrainian people, than I heard in the beginning of the war. And I don't want to... I don't feel that pain anymore. I know that pain is there, but it doesn't make me feel that uncomfortable. But this pain is still inside of me, but it's not the same pain, because I got used to the war. And it's the worst thing which can happen to a human, because you accept the fact that people are dying, that people will be dying this terrible death. And it is awful, because it shouldn't be like that. We should never agree with death and so on, but it is, I guess, our human nature, and getting used to the war is how it works. Anyway, many people used to ask me, especially many of my foreign friends, they asked me, why would Russia, such a big country with such huge oil and gas resources, why would they attack Ukraine? And actually, yes, if we think why does Russia needs Ukraine, if we ignore the fact what they say, that they are fighting Nazi. But I just remember, for example, there is Belarus. Do you know Belarus? It's a country near, yes, Russia and Ukraine.
Yes, I actually have friends there as well, who mostly stopped talking to me about 2 months ago, I think. No, 3 months ago, excuse me, telling me that they were seeing action taking place there, and that, quite frankly, that's how I knew for sure that Belarus would play a role in what's happening in Ukraine right now, based on things that were told to me by people who... live near Minsk and places like that. So, yeah. I know Belarus.
Yeah. Great. So, yes, but we all know that Belarus is a pro-Russian country, but Belarus hasn't been like that before. Russians made it to be like that. Their president, Lukashenko, is, I don't know, a pop, we call him a puppet of Putin, is, or how he calls himself, a good friend of Putin. And what about Belarus? Maybe you didn't know, but there is Belarusian language. Yes.
Yes.
And this language is very similar to Ukrainian, but a lot of Belarusians, maybe a majority of them, they don't even know their language. They can't speak it.
No, most, yeah, most of the ones that I've met speak Russian, to
yes,
be honest with you.
Only Russian.
Only Russian, except one who speaks, I think, 8 languages. A well-educated man, but common guys seem to just speak Russian. And the interesting thing is that although the leader of Belarus, let's call him leader, appears to be quite a dictator and control his country, it almost appears to me, although maybe I'm wrong about it, hard to read through the language barrier, okay? But it appears to me as though, yeah, if he wanted to keep control of his country, what he was going to have to do is whatever Vladimir Putin wants. And then he's
exactly.
allowed to keep control of his country. Maybe I'm wrong about that.
No, you're right. Yes. What I was saying, Belarusians, a majority of them doesn't even speak their language. They know that they have a Belarusian language, but they can't speak it. Even I can speak, I guess, Belarusian better than most of Belarusian people. And also Belarusians, they started forgetting their culture and their traditions. I know that because I have many friends in Belarus. I also visited Belarus a couple of years ago. And these people, they told me those things which I'm telling you now. And why it is so? It is because of Russia. Even Belarusian president, he doesn't speak Belarusian. He always speaks Russian. However, he is the leader of the country and he is supposed to speak Belarusian, but no. And yes, Putin made Belarus like that. He made them to be a pro-Russian country. And when 1 year ago, I think, Belarusians started protesting, they started fighting for freedom, for their country, they went against the government. Their president just said the police to beat people who protest, and yeah, people lost that their civil war.
Right. So the Belarusian people attempted to assert their desire to govern themselves in whatever way. The government cracked down on them, and it was put down. Now, some people think. And I do want to give you the majority of the last, we're about 19 minutes left here. I want to give you the majority of it to tell us about how, you know, how things have developed for you and whatever else it is you want to say. But just one last question. The idea has been floated around in media, different media outlets, that Ukrainian government was suppressing its people who were protesting against the current government, Zelensky. Now, I know that there was a situation in 2014 where Ukrainian people were taking to the streets, if I'm right, around then or just before he came in to office. Has there been a crackdown by the Ukrainian government, the current Ukrainian government, on its people or protests, is the big question that you know of?
Yes. As far as I remember, when Zelensky became a president, there were some people who didn't like him, who supported a previous president, Poroshenko. And yes, there were some protests, and probably what you're saying is right, because I can't really remember, but in Ukraine, all people, they can't protest against anything, but they need to make it legal. They can't just go to the office of the president and throw stones in the walls, in the windows. If they do this, then the police has to stop them. But right. If people do it legal, it will be fine, and the police will protect people and so on. In Ukraine, I also protested in mm-hmm. Ukraine a few times against some specific laws, and I know how it works.
So, in other words, a peaceful protest that is held with a permit, say, we would call it a permit here, but you might have to get a piece of paper from the government saying that you're going to have a protest on a particular day.
Yes.
And if you do it that way and it is peaceful, the police protect you. But if you get violent, well, they're going to put a stop to that. Is that what you're saying?
Yes, yes.
Okay. Fair enough. That's better than we get here half the time. Thank you. I just wanted to make that point clear. And like I said, I want to give you the rest of the time, which is about 16 minutes now, to say whatever it is you want people to know about this situation as it is happening. Day 51 for you. Now in the hot conflict that people are describing as a war. It is certainly an invasion. It is warlike. But again, I mean, how many different words are there to justify violence in the English language? A lot, apparently. But by all means, go ahead and say whatever it is you want to say here for the last, 15, 16 minutes, please.
Thank you, Chuck. And when I was speaking about Belarus, that this country is pro-Russian and it's losing its heritage, culture, and even language, I meant that Putin wants to do the same to Ukraine. He is invading us to make us a pro-Russian country too. He wants to destroy our nation, the idea of being Ukrainian, because Ukrainian people, they, if we again read the history, they have been fighting for freedom since the beginning of existence of Ukraine. They and we fought, and we have it now. We have freedom. We have freedom of speech, and we are happy with that. And Russia wants to take it from us.
Right. Russia according wants, according yes. to the history, just to make this clear to the American listener, sure. According to the history, I believe you have at least a 300-year effort to assert your independence in Ukraine, beginning with a constitution which was established in the 1700s, I think, if I'm not yes. mistaken. Is that correct?
Yes, that's correct.
Okay, please go on.
Yes, thank you, Chuck. And Russia wants us to make us Russians, because in Russia, people cannot have different opinions, like they are, except for ones which their government proposes. And also probably Russian government knows how we hate Russian regime, and they want to eliminate these thoughts, this strong Ukrainian spirit, and make us pro-Russians.
But they're there to yes. save you, Ruslan, right? They're
exactly.
there to save you. What are they there to save you from? Your own identity, sounds like to me. But maybe I don't understand. But that's what it sounds like. They're there to save you from being anything other than part of the Russian Empire, which somebody brings up in my chat room right now, the country of Georgia, which is a seemingly separate issue. But it's not. Because this, again, as I've explained with Larry Hancock several times, is precisely the playbook that we've seen Vladimir Putin use. So what Ruslan is saying here is exactly the same thing that I guarantee you many people in Georgia, Chechnya, and other places have said before they were absorbed or controlled, like Belarus. Anyway, go on, sir.
Yes, you are right. And yes, Russians are here to save us, and they just, I don't know, there are many opinions from Ukrainians who see no logic in their salvation. But we say that Russians saw that we live better in better conditions than they do, and they just want us to live like they live, or Russians envy that we have a freedom of speech and they don't have it, and so on. And now I would like to speak a bit about Russian people.
Go ahead.
In the world media, I often read about Russians who are innocent, because it's not them, it's the Russian government who does all this war and genocide and all these murders and destructions. But Russian people are innocent. I can argue with that, because even my relatives, even my friends who are in Russia, I can't say that they are innocent, because first of all, they support the war. They know that we are being killed here in Ukraine, but still they say that it is the right way. When children die, they say it is the right way for salvation. It's first thing. Second thing is that Russians, they finance this war. They still pay taxes. They donate to their army. They do nothing to stop this war. In the beginning of the war, I guess 1,000 of Russians went for a protest, and they were easily eliminated by their police. I mean, not killed, just arrested. And it's only 1,000, maybe 5,000, thousands of people. But Russia is a huge country. They have 100 million people. And they don't give a damn about the war. They don't care. Moreover, Russians organize many events supporting their army. They say that their Nazis, fascism symbol Z, they say that it's a powerful sign that will save Ukrainians, and so on. Moreover, Russians say that they are innocent, but in social media, they text, they write posts, and you can find it. You just need to translate it. They write that Ukraine has never existed. It is Ukraine is Russia. And everyone who disagrees with that, they will die. And Russian army will come and kill all Ukrainians who disagree that Ukraine is Russia. And many people write it in social media. It's not just one, two, or three. It's huge social communities with millions of people which write it and people support it. It's not that Russians are innocent. Russians are not innocent. It's
The English speaker, I just want to say this. If you go to the social media site VK and you use a translator on VK, you'll find that what Ruslan is saying is absolutely correct. Okay,
yes.
So
thank you.
That's how you can do it, and everybody's got these translator programs. You can do it if you go on to their social media, and you don't have to speak the language. And even if the translations are a little off, you're going to find that what Ruslan just said here is absolute fact. Go ahead, sir.
Yes, and Russians don't only hate Ukrainians; they say it absolutely all nations. I guess they love no one. I mean, it's fair, because many countries also, for now, they don't like Russians and they don't like Russian regime, and Russian people take it personally, but whatever. What I want to say is that Russia is a huge, how to say it? Well, it's, I guess, the biggest homophobic and racial country I've ever heard about. Maybe there are some small countries which are also homophobic and racial, but literally every Russian I met, they never support it. These things which are which we fight for in the world, and it's
okay. Let me try and help you just a little, okay?
Thank you.
The thing I think you're trying to get at is that there is an idea of Russian supremacy which runs through Russian culture, where anything that is not Russian, anything that is not according to their plan, is something to be feared or destroyed or rejected. And of course, we've seen the homophobic aspect of it. We have also, but what we don't understand, and what a lot of people don't understand in America, is that Russian people don't look at themselves as white people. They're Russian people, and they, in general, this is a very big generalization, but this has been encouraged in Russian culture for a long time, are the superior people. Does that sound right to you?
Excuse me. What do you mean? What sounds right to me?
That this is kind of a thing in Russian culture where Russian people are superior and that others are lesser. It doesn't matter how they are otherized, but they are lesser. This is very common among Russian people. It's been encouraged, through the Soviet Union, of course, but also through the Russian Empire. It's just sort of a staple of Russian culture. And a lot of people in America think that Russians are, you know, white people, and therefore, you know, white people in America, you've heard this before, maybe, have things in common with Russians and this and that. Russians don't see it that way. They very much seem to believe that they are, you know, they had this idea of the Russian man that is the superior ideal man, even as late as the 1980s and 90s. So this is not something that people seem to grasp, that anything that is not Russian is bad. Basically.
Yes.
Okay. I just wanted to get that across. And we've only got a few more minutes left, Ruslan. I'm sorry about that. But I do want to let you have a few more minutes to say what you want to say. And then we'll close this this hour out. But I hope that you got out more of what you wanted to today. Go ahead.
Thank you. So what I want to say, that what happens in Ukraine is awful. And it's not only what about Ukraine. It's about the whole world, that there are a lot of violence in the world, but Ukraine, the war in Ukraine, it managed to be spoken so loudly that almost all people in the world heard about it, and they know that there is that huge war. But why is that happening? Is it because of Putin, this war? Yes, it is because of Putin, because he started this war. But we could have prevented that. We could have took actions. And I don't say that you personally or me personally, one person can't change the world. But one person can make this push to change this world. One person can make a push to unite people, to give them a right, to give them right thoughts and make something good. You know, there will always be people who made wrong decisions and became and started doing bad things. It will always be like that. We can't change it, but we can prevent it. We can build this world on kindness. And if we see people who want to make those bad decisions or do violence, we have to stop them. If we can, we have to teach them how to, that something is wrong, that something is right. We have to show them the right way. And yes, what happens in Ukraine, it is because of the world, not because of one person, because Russia was getting a lot of weapons from European countries. We were putting all a lot of weapons in Russia. And what were we expecting? That Russia will just collect this weapon? No. And they attacked Ukraine. Yes. And we know if we don't take action and do more, we will lose our this kindness in the world, which is inside of us. And now in Ukraine, a lot of people die and many hearts stop, but there are still hearts which are beating. They are beating fast, they are scared, but at one moment they will slow down too, and 3, 2, 1, they will stop. If we do nothing, we will lose them. We have seen enough, and we understand that someone has to punish people who did this violence, and it is us. We have to stop them. Don't be a billion of people who say, I am alone, what can I do? You are not alone. Together we can make this world a good place, and together we can fight violence and create kindness.
Well, that is an excellent sentiment and absolutely true. If one person, as you said, cannot do it, but one person can begin a process to change the way things are done. And, you know, before I say goodbye to you for tonight, I just want to say that I hope that you and everyone you know will remain safe. I hope that this ends and quickly. I hope that something is done to put a stop to what is a collection of atrocities. But I also want to remind the American listener right now that listen very carefully to what Ruslan said about the innocent Russian. Because I'll tell you that quite often we need to keep that in mind when people do things in our name. Just like the Russians need to keep in mind when things are being done in their name. Because guess what? I'm equal opportunity about these things. We can all allow ugly things to continue, or we can participate in solutions to put a stop to them. Ruslan, I thank you so much for doing this with me today. And I hope that you got out a bit more of what it is I think you wanted to say yesterday. But either way, if people are hearing this and they didn't hear the letter, go listen to the Jack Blood Show from yesterday. In the archives here and read what Ruslan wrote, because it's very important to understand where just one young man is coming from over there. As you're being treated to different images and different media streams, etc., there are real people, there are real consequences, there are real things happening. It's not all fake, although there is a ton of propaganda out there on all sorts of sides. Real people pay the price for it. Ruslan, thanks again, man. Anyway, the Ocelli Effect will continue, and in the next hour I'm going to be speaking to an author about a very different set of circumstances, but this was necessary. I went early with it, and I may just separate it because it's a message that needs to get out there, and I want this young man heard. So that's what we're going to do. Stick around.